Hey, this is Eve Miles, and you're listening to the Infamous Podcast.
Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is your host, Brian, along with...
Johnny.
How you guys doing this week? Johnny, what's going on?
Not much. Vacation start.
Woo!
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're on vacation now, aren't you?
Vacation.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty nice.
You do anything fun?
Probably check out some comic book stores, antique malls.
You're going to the toy show in Columbus, right?
Dayton.
Dayton.
Yeah. Ooh. The Ohio Toy and Comic Convention.
Cool.
That know the guys that set it up, and that's Roma Collectibles. Actually did it last year, and it was pretty successful. I didn't get to go last year, so
yeah.
This year I get to go.
Cool. So hopefully you'll come back with some good stories for next week.
And maybe some treasures.
Ooh, treasures. So if you guys didn't know, New York Comic Con is going on right now. We're not there, obviously. I have a friend. She works in publicity for Hasbro.
Yeah.
And I sent her a note, and she's like, you know, hey, good luck at Comic-Con this week. Make sure to send me some fun Star Wars toys.
Right.
And she's like, did you go to Force Friday? I'm like, of course I went to Force Friday. You know,
yeah,
and she's like,
yeah.
What'd you get? I was like, a lot.
Yeah.
More than I should have. But anyway.
Tell her to check my pictures out.
I know. No kidding. So, big week for comics. The Martian came out. We went and saw that. We want to talk about that. Do you want to kick off with The Martian?
Yeah, we can start with The Martian.
All right, so we went and saw this on Tuesday night at our favorite local theater. What'd you think?
I liked it. I enjoyed it. I had just finished the book on Sunday, so that was still fresh in my mind. And as much as I enjoyed the book, I enjoyed the movie more.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
More emotional investment.
Yeah.
In the movie, even though I was emotionally invested in the book and reading it as fast as I could to find out what happens.
Which I think is a testament to how good the book is.
Yeah,
that you don't want to put it down because you're really worried.
There's not a lot of books that, like, you know, I've read in the last few years that have been like that. But this one, you know, I picked it up because you recommended it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the place where I work had it on sale for $5.
Oh, so, wow. Yeah, cool.
Yeah. A $10 paperback for $5 is a decent deal.
Yeah, I think, you know, the author, Andy Weir, that's how you say it, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
And Mark Watney, who Matt Damon played in the movie,
yeah.
But just real quick in the book, created this, like, so likable character.
Yeah,
That you really did root for him.
It's kind of like he's the everyman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if this movie would have been done in the 1930s or 40s, it would have been Jimmy Stewart playing it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's kind of he is the guy that everybody likes.
Yeah.
And that, but I mean, the book, like I told you, you know, we had conversations about it while I was reading it, and I was telling you, it seemed like anything that could go wrong would go wrong.
Right.
And I had like serious complaints about mm-hmm. that. Because I'm like, there's no way.
At some point, it was just too much.
Too much.
And
yeah.
The movie did a good job of not.
Yeah, the movie did the things that I think should have been done, like as, you know, failures
mm-hmm.
that happened to him. And then there's some things where I'm like, I'm glad they didn't do it.
Yeah.
Because it was just too much.
There's a whole thing with the crater, and I'm not spoiling anything for anybody, but.
What's the book been out for, like, I don't even know, like 2 or 3 years?
A while,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, and the other cool thing about it was the book just ends.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no epilogue. There's nothing to...
And the movie put this nice little bow at the end of it that, like, I found, like, really tied up the affection that I had for the character.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it was cool because it rolled while the credits were rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was nice because everybody who was in the movie... They were on the screen as a character, and their name was coming
right
up
next
as
to them.
They were on the screen.
Like, that's fun.
That's fun to do that. And,
it's been a long time since I've seen a movie do that.
Well, and my thing I was worried about, and you know, this is a spoiler, so stop it for a few seconds. Ridley Scott does have a habit of killing people at the end of the movies,
right?
And I was kind of worried that they might have went that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So, huge cast, great cast. I felt like,
yeah,
as well cast of a movie. And I said this last week. I mean, like, you know, I thought Matt Damon nailed it as Mark Watney.
Oh yeah.
I really didn't have any concerns about him going in. Jessica Chastain is just a fabulous actress.
Yeah.
We were talking before we started recording how she hasn't done any Marvel movies yet.
Right, yeah. And this movie is full of Marvel.
Yeah.
Marvel movie actors. I said, you know, it was Sue Storm and Ant-Man's best friend flying in space.
And Bucky.
I mean, and Bucky Barnes. Yeah, I forget that. He's such a chameleon that it's like, you know, he looks different in everything.
And everything he does, yeah.
When
and then
he showed up in Once Upon a Time, I was like, that's Bucky?
How do you say it? Towie Ekafor, I don't know how to say his name.
Chiwetel
Ejiofor.
Yeah.
I mean, he's gonna be in Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
So
yeah, exactly.
I mean, it was chock full. It was fun to watch the Winter Soldier and Sue Storm.
Yeah.
Have their little flirtation. That was one thing that when. I mean, it's in the preview, so this isn't spoiling anything. But when they go back to save him in the book. There was this whole thing about, like, well, we might not survive.
And
they didn't even draw straws. Just Jessica Chastain's Commander Lewis went to Kate Mara's Beth Johansson and was like, you're going to be the one that survives.
Yeah.
You need the least amount of calories. And, you know, even if we run out of food, there's food.
Yeah, we can be the food.
And they cut that out, which I'm kind of glad they did.
And they alluded to the romance.
Yeah.
But they didn't do, like,
it wasn't over.
It was
overt,
a little bit more, hey, here's what's going on.
And it made the scene where, like, it kind of blossomed.
Yeah.
Like, all the more powerful for
it. Yeah, and the epilogue gives you a payoff on that. So, the epilogue gives a payoff literally on every character.
Yeah.
And it's like, you were, in the book, you're very invested in Mark Watney.
Yeah.
But you're not as invested as in any other character.
Like, not even the NASA people. Mindy Park, the character, was played by Mackenzie Davis.
Yeah.
Who most recently was in That Awkward Moment with Zac Efron
she's
and Michael
on
B. Jordan.
Hold and Catch Fire.
Yeah. She's
kind of the techno girl now.
Yeah.
Because she's, like, in everything she's been in that I've seen her in, it's computer stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, so,
she kind of nailed the role.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, she was really good. I mean, Jeff Daniels. Love the guy.
It's so funny, like, Jeff Daniels. You know, The Newsroom is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
You know, Dumb and Dumber is one of my favorites. Yeah. I mean, you want to talk about a chameleon. That guy can play Speed.
Yeah.
He was awesome in Speed.
I mean, a favorite movie of mine, actually, it's an older movie, but he was in with Anna Paquin called Fly Away Home.
Yeah.
He plays her dad.
Yeah, with the geese or the ducks or whatever.
Yeah, the geese, yeah. And that, I mean, he's just one of those guys where he can play comedy, he can play serious roles, and it's like, he's believable in anything.
Yeah, he's highly underrated, I think.
Yeah.
All right, so I think The Martian, we're both giving that a must-see.
Yeah.
Like, I really wish we could, like, disagree on this movie, but
I think, and the thing was, you said that it's one of your favorites, but it's still not your favorite for the year so far.
I mean, like, I'm glad this came out the first weekend in October.
Yeah.
I think if this came out in the summer, like, it wouldn't have got the attention.
Well, and it came out last Friday.
Yeah.
And it was still pretty well crowded in our theater for a Tuesday
night. A Tuesday night at, 6:30?
Yeah. There was probably 25 people in that theater.
It wasn't one of the big giant theaters.
No,
it was the little one at the end.
But still, for a Tuesday showing, to have that many people in the theater was kind of, you know,
refreshing.
I hope it's just word of mouth that this movie actually is.
I think the book was pretty popular too, though.
Yeah.
And so that'll kind of add to it.
It definitely is one of those ones where I'd say if you want to read the book, but you don't have to read the book to enjoy this movie. It's not one where, you know, there's something missing from the movie that you're like, oh, they cut that out. It's more like, oh, I'm glad they cut that out.
Yeah.
Or, oh, I'm glad they left that out. Because there was a few things in there I was like, yeah, definitely, like, it's a 2-hour, 20-minute movie.
2-hour, 22, something like that.
And then you have, like, previews in front of it. So it was about 2.5 hours in the theater. But it didn't feel like it.
No. I think if you want to, like, really see this, go see the movie and then
read the book.
Because I think the book will then be more powerful.
Yeah.
I know, like, you know, wifey, she was like, she was worried because she's like terrified of heights and things like that. So Gravity, when we watched Gravity, yeah, she had like issues. She like stressed out, and she's like, "Well, would this one be the same?" And I told her not until the end. Yeah, like
the, when the rescue happens, yeah. It's like, you know, then if you have a little bit of a vertigo, or you know, you get sick on rides, you might want to close your eyes and just listen.
Yeah.
Because it literally like is very fast paced and it's in space. And
right.
There's nothing to look down at.
But I mean, overall, great movie. Definitely go see it. If you can't make it to your theater, definitely get it when it comes out.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way that DVD. I would say it for me, because like my judgment of a movie is if I want to buy it.
Yeah.
I just seen it in a theater. If I want to buy it, then you know it's a good movie. And that's the way I tell people. Yeah. If I tell you, yeah, I'm going to buy that the week it comes out, then it's definitely a must see.
Yeah. So definitely.
And I mean, on the big screen, Mars looks beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful, but dangerous. I mean, and Ridley Scott does an excellent job.
It was just nice to see him do a good movie again.
Yeah.
You know, and I said that as we were leaving, well, too. Yeah.
You didn't enjoy Prometheus.
No.
I did enjoy Prometheus.
I enjoyed Prometheus for the aesthetic of it.
Yeah.
Everything else, I was... Did we see that one together?
No.
We didn't, because I saw that with Shay. I was sitting there and I was like, why am I sitting? Why can't... I need to get up and leave.
Was it because they had hyped it so much as Alien, though? Like,
no, because, like, Alien? Honestly, like... And you know, I'll lose nerd points for this, I'm sure. Like, I like Alien.
Yeah.
I really didn't like Aliens all that much.
Wow.
I didn't like the rest of them. Well, you know,
you don't have to really even talk about the rest of them.
Alien versus Predator was, you know,
abysmal.
Yeah. And in the second
like,
one,
Aliens versus but, Predator, to me, like being a fan of this whole genre and those series of movies. Aliens versus Predator was very disappointing for the fact that
I like that they tried
the
to do it.
I read the comic book that it was adapted from.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Ridley Scott, I mean, you know, it has a very wide range of movies. Gladiator is probably one of my favorites of his.
All time.
I enjoyed Thelma and Louise.
Yeah.
You know, so there's it's just, I know a lot of people are probably saying that it's cool that he's doing a good movie again, and that
I just think it was a solid movie. It was a solid outing. It kind of actually makes me excited to go see the next Prometheus.
Yeah.
Like, okay, like, you know, Tony Scott, his brother committed suicide a couple years ago. Like, we haven't heard much from Ridley Scott really. Like, maybe he's gotten some creative chops back together. Yeah. So, you know, it definitely makes me excited for Ridley Scott movies
again. And I think he cast the right people in the right roles, so you know that helped it out.
Yeah.
Casting the right roles and that, and there were some roles in Prometheus, you know, we don't want to beat a dead horse, but there were some roles in Prometheus that were miscast.
Yeah.
And that, but on a whole, I, you know, I liked it. It wasn't like, you know, one where I'd say it's in my top, you know, 25 or whatever.
Yeah. I do want to say real quick, just wrap up about The Martian, is Donald Glover was in it. Troy from Community, and I knew he was in it.
You know him, and you know him, and like, I think what he's been on an episode of Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah, he was the voice of Miles Morales.
That's the only thing that I've ever like seen him in. So.
I'm like, I don't like a lot of rap. I like his like his Childish Gambino like alter ego. Like, I really enjoy that. I loved him in this role.
Yeah,
because
and I've seen one episode of Community with LeVar Burton.
Yeah,
the LeVar Burton thing where I've seen that clip and I'm like, you know, okay, can he play a serious role?
Yeah,
and it's like he really pulls it off well.
I felt like every scene that he was in, he stole.
Yeah,
and when he was in the room with Sean Bean, Mackenzie Davis, and Jeff Daniels, all and Kristen Wiig, all great
actors,
and. I wanted to see more of that, you know, so I'm excited for him. You know,
he's such a talented,
I mean, he's an actor, he's a stand-up comedian, he's a singer, artist, whatever, you know. I hope this is a stepping stone to more and better parts.
Well, and one of the things about Ridley Scott is he's well known for reusing actors. Yeah. And that, so hopefully, you know, he enjoyed working with him and reusing, you know,
mm-hmm.
that I be happy to see him in something else. Like I said, I've never really watched Community, but yeah. I liked him in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just kind of last movie news, we saw the preview for Moby Dick or whatever it's called with Thor.
Yeah, it's the story that the story is based off
with Thor and Spider-Man fighting Moby Dick.
Yeah.
With Chris Hemsworth and Tom Holland.
A Ron Howard movie.
And a Ron Howard movie at that. So that looked kind of cool.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I want to necessarily see it, but, you know, it's one of those things.
I think it's one that might be kind of like you'd need to see in the theater, too. I mean, it just because of the effects with the whale. I mean, the whale looked awesome, so.
Yes, but, yes, he did. So yeah,
I don't remember any of the other previews that were on.
Yeah, that was the only one I remember. Yeah. So,
I don't remember.
We're in that weird like time of year where there's nothing really.
Oh, the one with Will Smith
about the concussion. Yeah. So
it's a lot of, like you said, a lot of the Academy Award stuff is coming out.
And I mean, that's all January and stuff like that.
Somebody from this movie, you know, at least nominated, like one of the supporting actors.
Yeah. Michael Pena. Yeah. Because they're not going to give it to him for Ant-Man, so they might as well give it to him for this.
Michael Pena, Jeff Daniels would be kind of cool.
So,
I don't know if he's ever won an Academy Award, but.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't,
it would be kind of cool to see him get nominated for this.
Yep. So, all right. So that's movie news. Real quick. This is Thursday night. As you guys know, we always record on Thursdays. We like getting it right down the wire before we release on Friday. The Flash and Arrow both started up this week.
Yeah.
And iZombie, which I know you don't watch.
Yeah, I haven't watched iZombie. Supernatural started too.
Yeah. iZombie.
The CW week has happened.
iZombie's a fun, like, just weird little show.
Yeah, and I read the first six issues of the series, and it's a cool series. I think, you know, it was just one where it kind of fell to the wayside.
The way the show is handled, it's like a comic book. Like, it will go to like page and pixel.
Oh wow!
Like,
okay.
You know, with frames and everything to like as the interstitials and things like that.
I think
the first season
is on Amazon.
Yeah, Netflix for sure. Yeah. It just got on Netflix, but it's cool. It'll like sketch the characters.
Oh nice.
Go to the next screen and then unsketch them. So yeah, it's fun. I don't know. It's zombies, kind of. They're not like
eat brains. So she'll eat a piece of a brain and be the person. Kind of the attitude and the
she takes on their traits.
Right, yeah.
So kind of like Rogue. This one was funny because she ate like a cantankerous old man's brain.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And I forget the actress's name.
Rose McIver?
Something like that. She was Tinkerbell on Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, she's been in a few things.
And, like, she here's this, like, tiny little, like, fire plug of a girl who's a lot of fun to watch, like, acting like a 65-year-old man who, you know, couldn't give any, you know. It's one of those ones where, you know, it's definitely a good, like, Netflix series, binge through.
Yeah, I'll definitely. A lot of that lately. It seems that way. So
yeah,
I'll definitely watch it on there.
Now you didn't get a chance to watch Arrow yet,
correct? I have not watched Arrow yet.
Okay, so without spoiling anything, Arrow, much like S.H.I.E.L.D., it felt like a pilot for a new show.
Oh, okay.
Everybody has a new role.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, obviously, with the finale, you knew that people were going to move into different roles with Oliver leaving.
There were things that happened that I kind of wish they've taken a little bit more time with.
Yeah.
They kind of just hurried up and got to the main dish sort of a thing.
Why did you want to see more Oliver?
Before becoming Green Arrow.
Right,
I really wanted
didn't know what to kind of, like, you know, obviously I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like when Supernatural came back in season 6, did you watch any of that?
First
episode?
I watched like the first 9 episodes.
Okay. So you know, like the whole thing with Dean where it showed his life.
Right.
Do you think it would have been kind of like that though? Where they kind of, not repeating themselves, but copying off of another CW show?
Maybe. You know, I don't know. Like the whole thing with him and Felicity was, you know, like Felicity's a really polarizing character. Like fans either love her or hate her.
Yeah, I know. I know people who really hate her. And I know people really like her.
So
me myself, I don't care. She's just there. She is, you know, a useful character for what she is, but she's a replaceable character.
She's unfortunately a plot device for so many of the things that happen, which
I don't think she was intended that way,
Emily Beck Richards, or however you say her name. Yeah. She's got one of those hyphenated names. Like, it's really disservice to her as an actress.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, when she's in the scenes, like, she owns it. And she owns that role. So, like, you have to respect that. She has no control over the script.
Right.
You know?
So. It's one of those things where it's developed where, you know, they had to develop it for them to have a romantic relationship. Mm-hmm. And when it wasn't that, I thought it was better.
Yeah.
Because she kind of was the replacement for Theo because he didn't have a relationship with his sister. Right. So she was kind of the...
Yeah, it was like the little sister that, and it kind of morphed into something weird.
Yeah, definitely. Like, he had too many love interests at one point, and it's like...
He was like Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
You know, like, more than anything.
I mean,
he had Laurel.
He had Sarah. And... You know, whoever else popped up.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Shadow.
Yeah, Shadow. Yeah.
So, there is an actual callback to Shadow in this episode, which was kind of cool and sad at the same time.
I don't know, like, Selena Jade's doing stuff, but she's not doing enough.
I don't know.
She was really good. I really liked her.
Neil McDonough is going to be a fantastic villain.
Okay.
Just his delivery.
Does show up in the first episode?
Oh, like, you learn a ton about Damian Dark, and I'm not spoiling any of it for any of you guys. And then there was a twist at the end.
Okay.
In the last maybe 3-4 minutes of the episode.
Yeah.
That I actually had to rewind to make sure I heard it right.
Oh, okay. So, all right. Cool.
I'll leave it at that. So moving on to The Flash,
which we did both watch.
Yeah. I think you're the one who said it felt like a season finale.
No,
that was my friend David from Think Hero.
My thing watching it last night, I watched it. Like, you know, I had to work late, so I got to watch it later than usual. It opens up weird. For me, it opened up kind of weird.
Well, you know,
there's like a dream sequence thing. That wasn't weird. It was just weird because... they didn't, go right to him running up into the singularity.
Yeah, it jumps to, like, 9 months later.
Yeah, yeah, and then they flash back to the singularity, which I'm like, why didn't they just do that at the beginning and then, you know, go from there? And it's a plot device. You know, I don't want to spoil it because, obviously, it's only been 48 hours since it's been on. But
We're going to try not to spoil this stuff as we talk about it because it's not fair.
Yeah, if we talk about it that week, if we're talking about it a month later... we'll probably spoil it.
And if we do spoil it, we apologize.
Yeah,
so
we'll warn you ahead of time.
So, hopefully.
The ending was cool. I liked Edge as...
yeah, Adam Copeland, Edge, Adam Smasher. Hopefully he's back.
Yeah.
Really
weird how it happens, but I kind of picked up on what's going on. I don't want to say because I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but I kind of picked up on something.
I was thinking there's a movie that I've mentioned before with Jet Li and Jason Statham and Delroy Lindo.
Oh, yeah.
That it kind of reminded me of what was going on there.
Yeah.
So you can IMDb that and figure it out for yourselves.
Right.
I will say this.
It's not war.
No, I haven't even seen that one yet. The relationship between Cisco and Detective West... is quickly becoming my favorite subplot.
Yeah, and I want to actually talk about Joe.
And I'm waiting for Barry to get jealous.
Yeah. I was watching it with my girlfriend last night, and at a certain point I had to pause it because there was a scene where Joe is talking to Barry, and a lot of these shows, these characters become smarter than they need to be.
Right.
And Joe is not.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a part where he's talking about the singularity and he has no idea what it's called, so he just says that thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That they write his character to just be the...
He's true.
He is one of the everyman.
Yeah.
You know, he is the guy who's just, you know, all this crazy stuff's happening around him and he's just, yeah, okay.
If you were to call him, like, their moral compass or their true north or, you know, however you want to... he's what guides the ship.
Yeah. I really like the character.
Yeah.
And he was a character where I was like, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, is the cop thing going to work in this show? You know, it works on Arrow, but this show was like kind of like,
I would argue it works better on The Flash than it does on Arrow at this point. But there's, you know, anyway.
Obviously, I have to watch the first episode of this season of The Arrow because things are probably changing.
Yes. So, yeah. Adam Smasher was cool. The setup. Jay Garrick popping up.
Yeah, that's not a spoiler. That's been in the previews. And
I love that he showed up in the first episode. Yeah. And
he was there. I mean, if you weren't paying attention.
Yeah, he was getting his Peter Parker on.
Yeah.
And then he was on Masters of Sex.
Okay.
The Showtime show with Michael Sheen and Lizzie Kaplan. He was great on that show. He was like the horny doctor who volunteered for every test.
Too, but I don't know.
So I'm excited to see him in this role. Going into this week, if you would have said, hey, Brian, which one are you more excited for, The Flash or Arrow?
You would have been more excited for Arrow.
No, I would have said The Flash.
Really?
I love The Flash season one. I think, it had its faults, but it was a great season top to bottom.
And I told her when we were watching it, I said, the stuff that happens with the singularity, I'm like, this makes sense of how they might be able to cross Supergirl over.
Yes.
With it. And it's like, obviously, they're going to do it.
Well, it's almost like the singularity is now, hopefully, doesn't become a crutch.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be a crutch. But it's going to be a plot.
It also can open up to, maybe bring Ezra Miller, who's going to be the Flash in the movie universe, and, do a Flash of multiple Earth things.
Well, yeah, a friend of mine mentioned, with the singularity, hopefully people from Smallville show up.
That would be awesome.
And I said, it's a possibility. I said, but that's the actors.
But that was a WB show. It was on the CW at the end.
Legally, they can use it. I mean, CW, WB was, consolidated. Yeah. So it's like they can use the characters. Yeah, but I think it would be kind of cool to see, Green Arrow from Smallville show up and just, what the storyline would be with that.
Just see Justin Hartley show up and I'm the Green Arrow, bitch.
Yeah. Just, something like that would be kind of cool. I mean, Supergirl and Clark from Smallville showing up in an episode at the same time would be different.
Because he'd be like, you're not Supergirl.
Right, yeah.
And she's like, I am, you're not Superman. Well, I am. So,
argument would ensue.
There would be
10 minutes of fighting because that's what superheroes do.
There would be a battle. There'd be some blue fireballs from the eyes.
Yes.
Some clear fireballs from the eyes. So, anyway.
I would look forward to if they could get somebody from Smallville to show up. That would be kind of fun. Because
like someone who's not Chloe Sullivan.
Is that...
no, I mean, it's not a rumor or anything I've heard. It's just like... If you want to pick, an inconsequential character...
No Lana Lang, either.
Yeah, well, I mean, but, if you brought her with, the fire flame bird, type powers...
Yeah,
that could be interesting, so... the other thing I want to talk about with Flash is, with Firestorm.
Yes.
So...
They answer the question.
They do, they answer... Well, they... I think it asks as many questions as it answers.
But it answers the question of Legends of Tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. I don't feel like they really got enough into that character.
Oh, it's gonna happen.
To do what they're doing with it.
Yeah, I think you're by the end of the season, it's gonna pay off.
Yeah, I hope so.
I really do. I mean, it's not one of those things where it's like we're not gonna use that guy anymore. And that's a slight spoiler, but it's not Legends of Tomorrow. Yeah. Your preview's been out, and you don't see Ronnie Raymond in it, so you know something's happened.
And so, again, this is where the singularity comes into play, because, I think we're safe to assume he's lost.
Yeah, yeah.
And seeing the previews of, Caitlin Snow as Killer Frost.
Yeah,
let's just hope he's somewhere with a Martin Stein that they can combine fighting Killer Frost, and we get to see that.
Yeah.
I did love the call out for Grodd. Which was really cool.
There was a lot of call outs, but not call outs in that episode.
But I think it was a good episode. It was a good first episode. It did feel like a little climactic at the end, but at the same time, it's opening the door for new beginnings. So
there's a warning at the end that something's coming.
I will say this. I'm excited for when Zoom shows up.
Yeah.
Because Tony Todd is his voice.
Okay.
And...
Zoom's kind of... This Zoom's kind of sounding like he might be like the Black Flash.
Yeah.
than that, which I wish they would have just called, you know, if this
or
is
Cobalt
be,
Blue or something.
Well, Cobalt Blue in the original DC universe, yeah, not the New 52, was Barry Allen's twin brother.
Okay.
So, I mean, if he shows up, then it's going to be a whole different can of worms. But so, it was fun.
Yeah.
I definitely look forward to seeing what they do this season.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it sets up a good season. Yeah. So,
and we'll get our crossover probably in November. With
I mean, we already kind of got a mini crossover at the end of Arrow. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, not spoiling anything at all.
Right.
So,
I just, you know, there's going to be the crossover story, and then I look forward to seeing what they do with it this year.
Well, you know, I mean, I feel like they're going to have to raise the stakes every year for that,
yeah,
and have it be something more spectacular every time.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And
we'll review it when it happens.
Hell yeah. You'll have to watch those, like, on time.
Oh, yeah, 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 so. Right, yeah.
But, all right, well, cool. Want to get into comics?
Sure, yeah.
So,
the stack of books.
The giant stack of books. So, this is the biggest stack of books I've gotten in months. Like, and honestly, there have been months.
Is there a reason why?
Yeah, I'll get into that.
Okay.
There have been months where I have not gotten this many books in a month. So I got 17 books this week.
And I was, what, 21?
Yeah, but you always get, you get like the Valiant stuff and you buy like
variants. I get Valiant stuff, which, you know, I don't count the variants as the book because they are the book, just a variant of the book. But, I mean, I get the Valiants and I get a lot of the Image stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this week, Marvel dumped every Star Wars book on us. That's, you know,
there was that. It's the launch of All New, All Different.
But you know, you know what?
No, you were, you texted me about that.
I looked into it because I was questioning why. This month we're going to get 2 Star Wars and 2 Darth Vader books because Vader Down starts at the beginning of November.
Okay.
So they are,
they have to finish
the
storyline
faster.
Yeah.
And that, and I mean, Vader Down starts the first week of November.
Okay.
With Vader Down, number one. And then it goes into Star Wars and Darth Vader's book.
Okay, good to know.
And that's what, I was really confused that they were dumping this many things out at one time.
But, yeah, so of the 4 Star Wars books that came out this week, we had the original, or the standard Star Wars title, Star Wars Shattered Empire, Darth Vader, and Lando.
Last issue.
Last issue of Lando, which I did not get to yet. But I'm going to read. I'll probably read all of these tonight.
I haven't had a chance to read anything. I worked late last night, so
yeah.
Well, I got home and flipped through things and looked at. I mean, I picked up the All New, All Different .1.
Yeah,
which was pretty much a Maestro story.
Okay,
but it gives previews of a few other things that are happening too. Contest of Champions, which is actually the book that the Maestro is going to be.
Yeah, which I picked that one up as well.
It looks cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, like I said, I haven't read it yet, but it actually does look cool.
Yeah, I grabbed Amazing Spider-Man #1.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know if you grabbed that one or not.
No,
okay.
No, I'm not a big Spider-Man fan. I mean, and it's just one of those things where it kind of is, get it in a trade paperback.
Yeah, collections,
yeah,
things like that.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean,
the same thing I see you have Invincible Iron Man.
Yeah, so I have Invincible Iron Man, which, Brian Bendis has taken over writing
What's
duties
the deal with the
for Iron Man. I don't know. It's like this,
it's really
thick
like
cardstock.
Yeah.
Well,
then you open it up, and the same thing that's on the cover is on the first.
Well, it wraps.
Page.
It wraps to the back too. Yeah.
There...
So it's like, I don't know. It's pretty neat.
It's like you got both covers. Like,
yeah.
Like they did a cover within a cover.
So from what I understand, is they're looking to make,
which is what you paid for.
Well, yeah, it was a little bit more. Is there, like, Invincible Iron Man is, like, they're looking to make this the flagship book of the Marvel line to kind of hopefully get people from the cinematic universe,
sure,
fans,
yeah,
to come over. Yeah, I grabbed Contest of Champions. I've been playing the Contest of Champions iOS game.
Okay, I didn't know there was an iOS game.
For months. And I've probably spent more money than I should on a phone app. But it's a lot
the
of fun.
The concept of the book sounds interesting.
Yeah. Well, and, like, so, there's the whole, like, original Contest of Champions from years and years ago.
I just, I read, like, in the All New, All Different .1, like, the first few pages I did read, and Maestro is looking to set himself up as taking Doom's place in the battle world.
Yeah, so this is the kind of the big problem with these books coming out now. Secret Wars hasn't ended. Isn't over.
Right.
And there are like a ton.
They have three more issues?
At least, yeah.
Yeah, like I got six just six came yesterday.
Out. Yeah. So it's like they're spoiling stuff.
But are they really? I mean,
you know, we'll see.
I mean, the one, like, Contest of Champions seems like it might be one that would spoil.
Yeah.
But what about Invincible, Iron Man, and Amazing Spider-Man? I mean, did you read them both?
I did not read. I only read Spider-Man so far. Spider-Man. So,
does it mention anything about Battle World?
No, and it kind of picks up. Spider-Man picks up where the last issue of Amazing Spider-Man left off. You know, except for now, Peter and Parker Industries is global.
Right. Okay. They've kind of made it where things have gone up a little bit. Doom might have gave people wishes.
Who knows? We'll figure that out.
Yeah, so. And I'm one issue behind on Secret Wars, but it's a really well written book.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really weird.
Yeah,
which I like. I like weird books. So
yeah, no. And then I picked up the Green Lantern book, which is just for collection. And then Green Arrow 45 and the annual both came out.
They put them both out on the same
week. Which is weird. Really that weird that almost too. Never happens. And then I also from DC picked up Batman and Robin Eternal.
Okay.
Which
I was kind of expecting you to anyways. You are a Robin fan.
It's a Dick Grayson story to start. Yeah. So yeah. I don't know how far that's going to go, but
I thought he was the main character of this one.
I hope so, because I really liked it. So there's Tim Drake, there's Jason Todd, there's Cassandra Cain makes her PU-52 debut. Wow.
Okay. I thought she had been in something already.
No, I don't think so. Huh. Of course, if you guys are fans of Korra, The Legend of Korra, the Last Airbender series, Cassandra Cain's costume, her uni,
yeah,
is looks like the Metal Bender police force.
Oh, wow.
From The Legend of Korra, like a little too much.
A little too much.
So right. It's like, is that Beifong?
Fan of the art.
Yeah, so yeah. It was just fine. So, four DC books. It's been a long time since I've had a week with four DC books.
I think I only had one DC book this week. Nope, two. Sorry, one's a Vertigo book, but it's called Survivors Club, and it sounded interesting. I just read like the blurb about it saying that it's about the survivors of horrible things from the 80s, kind of sound like the horror movies of the 80s, and them getting together years later.
Oh, like the ones who actually survived?
Yeah. Okay. Like, this one dealt
and
with
then
Freddy,
is someone to hunt them?
And then something's happening.
Oh, I might have to check that out. Then haven't read it yet, but picked it up. Brian K. Vaughan's newest Paper Girls. Art by Cliff Chiang, however you say it, from Wonder Woman, who, like, he's a pretty amazing artist. I actually love the look of this book, and it's Brian K. Vaughan, so I know I'm going to like the story. And then the other Brian K. Vaughan book, We Stand on Guard, which, it's not the best, but it's definitely, like, a good guilty pleasure.
The same thing, like, I said, Ex Machina.
Yeah.
Doesn't start out strong, but it is a strong story. Mm-hmm. And that's the where We Stand on Guard's kind of feeling the same way. And Paper Girls, I did pick it up too.
Yeah, I mean, you have to kind of pick up any of the Brian K. Vaughan number ones at this point.
Yeah, check them out at least. I mean, I didn't think I was going to buy Ex Machina, and I bought the whole series. So,
And then I got Archie number 3. Number 2 is still sold out, but I read Archie number 1.
Yeah,
I really liked it. Christian Colbert talked about it a couple weeks ago on the show.
Yeah,
recommended it.
Fiona.
Yeah, so Fiona Staples and Mark Waid are doing the Archie book. And then because I like that one so much and I liked the characterization of Jughead in that book, I actually picked up the all new Jughead number 1.
Yeah, which I was kind of surprised at when you
Chip Zdarsky and Erica Henderson. So, I figured I'd give it a shot. Like sure. it looked good when I flipped through it. I like the cover.
Yeah.
It'll just be interesting to see what happens with those. It's a huge week. Like, you have a giant list here.
Yeah.
You have Aliens versus Vampirella. Yeah.
I read the first issue, and I'm kind of hooked to see where they go with it.
And then you're still reading.
I'm not a fan of Vampirella at all, so, yeah. You know, it's just one of those things where it's like, okay, let's see what they do with
yeah,
these
you kind
of
got to check that out. And then yeah. You're reading Bloodshot still.
Yeah.
I read the first three, and, like, I'm not as familiar with, like, the Valiant universe.
Right, yeah. And, you know, it's one of those things where they're not doing the Valiant universe. They're doing their own Valiant universe. So,
which is fair.
Quality books. I mean, they're...
Yeah, I really like Unity.
I'm behind on a couple of them, but most of them I've tried to stay up on.
Rye. Is that, yeah. I think that's how you say it. I really like that book. I like Exo Manowar. So.
Yeah, Exo Manowar is, like, a really good book.
Yeah, how was Saints number one?
I didn't get to read it yet.
Okay.
Like I said, I haven't had a chance to read anything. You know, it's one of those things where I'm willing to check out most number ones from Image.
Yeah.
You know, if it sounds interesting in previews, I will check it out.
I mean, if anything, it'll be a TV series at some point. So.
Well, yeah, there's that scary part, too.
So.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, there's some books on there that are just pick them up and read them later. I'm behind on what I get. Copperhead.
Mm-hmm.
Picked up Avengers number 0, which is pretty much a preview book of all new, all different Avengers.
Which that was my big complaint about Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I told you, like,
yeah, you said that.
It's got four, like, kind of backup stories with Silk, Spider-Woman.
Is Spider-Gwen one of them?
No, Web Warriors. That's the one that has Spider-Gwen. And then, like a backup tale with Amazing Spider-Man that has Miles.
Okay.
So,
even though he's going to have his own book.
And Spider-Man 2099, which I actually kind of like that backup
that
story because I'm looking forward to that book anyway. So
yeah, that comes out next week.
I'm kind of bummed that they're leaving Miguel O'Hara in 2015 and not sending him back to 2099, but there's a plethora of stories that they can tell, so we'll see how it goes.
And I think it's just one of those things where, you know, like we've said, we don't know what's coming with the all-new, all-different.
Right.
You know, it's obviously one of those things where they've got plans, but, you know, and that's something we should discuss down the line.
Yeah, I think, you know, we should definitely take a look at, like, what's coming out for the next few months and, like, kind of put together, you know, talking points about we can pontificate a little bit and get our fanboy,
like, you look at the you know, and I pick up previews every month that it comes out, so there's some books where you look at it because Marvel has a separate previews
along with their own
and there's books where you're like, eh, who cares, and then there's ones where it's like, oh, I might check that out. I told you that with Contest of Champions.
I had to stop getting previews because I was reading.
Wanting to order everything?
I was ordering too many, like, books and figures and that kind of stuff. So I actually stopped getting it.
I learned that a long time ago.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for a long time.
I know. I mean, I've been doing it for not quite as long as you, but still a while.
Yeah.
Previews
can be a dangerous book.
I remember, like, 2 years ago at, like, Christmas, I went through and I just, like, was, like, highlighting full pages. Like,
wow.
Just get me this.
Wow.
Get me this. Of course I didn't get any of it, but, you know.
Right.
That's how it rolls. Anyway, is there anything else you want to talk about this week?
I think I'm good for this week.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going to mention Star Wars books next week. Chewbacca comes out.
Yes.
Chewbacca number one.
Who's doing that one?
I think Phil Noto is doing the art.
Yeah, Phil Noto. That's right. Yeah. There's so they have a Chewbacca sketchbook out with the Phil Noto art and commentary on his process.
Okay.
So I'm gonna try and track that down.
Yeah.
Because I really like the way he draws Chewie.
Oh yeah, yeah, so. Yeah. Well, Phil Noto just does really awesome stuff. I at the expo, I actually picked up, and I don't buy a lot of variants, but a friend of mine had got the Books-A-Million variants all the Star Wars number ones. And it's literally every main character from Star Wars on the covers of these books, Phil Noto.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, I'll take my money, please.
When all the Star Wars number ones, I got the Scotty Young covers that went
variants. Yeah. But, I mean, these were, you know, kind of hard to find variants.
Yeah.
And then it was Kanan and Star Wars and Princess Leia and Vader.
Yeah.
Vader's book.
Cool. Well, before we sign off, I just wanted to remind everyone to check out the interview I did with Jacques Niebe.
Yeah.
who is the Not So Super Comics. He's doing 3 books currently, working on a bunch of other stuff, but he did Not So Super, which is kind of like an office like comedy thing. This Bites, which is about a vegan vampire.
Vegan vampire, yeah.
And then Smorgasbord Squad, which has 2 issues out, where it's like a hero squad, but they're all made of food.
How often does he publish? He's
just kind of working on it. Like, you know, I think he's publishing more often now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so definitely listen to that interview. I had a blast talking to him. Super interesting guy.
Yeah.
His story is really cool. Like, you know, he grew up for the first 8 years of his life in Africa. His dad's from Cameroon. His mom's from North Carolina.
Listen to the interview.
But yeah, definitely listen to it. It was really, really good. And I loved like learning more about him and everything.
It was really, I mean, I listened to it. Obviously, I wasn't here when you did it, but I listened to it and I really thought it was interesting to listen to his ideas on publishing and, you know, doing comic books and doing conventions the way he's done some conventions. And that it's a little bit interesting to hear it from an independent.
Yeah.
Who, you know, is, I don't, did he say how successful it's been?
He said he sold out like his books every time he goes to a show.
Okay, yeah.
So, and I think he said he gets like 300 or 400 books that he brings with him. So, I mean, that's a good number.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, definitely check that out. Check out NotSoSuperComics.com. You can get his stuff there and online.
Yeah, he's also on Facebook.
Yeah, he's on Facebook.
Super on Facebook.
Yeah, it's Not So Super Comics on Facebook and everything. And you can actually go to our show notes and it's got all the links.
Yeah, check the links out on the show notes.
Like I said, I had a blast talking to him, so it was a good time.
And he sounded like a pretty interesting guy.
So we're definitely going to try and do more of that. Yeah. Getting some people in here, and hopefully, like, when you're available next time, to get your insights.
Yeah,
so it's not just me asking.
If there's any professionals listening to the show, and you know, if you'd like to do an interview on the show, just get in touch with us.
Yeah, it's at theinfamouspodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, I know we said we were going to give the shirt away.
Yeah.
Come up with the trivia question yet?
I haven't come up with the trivia question yet.
We're going to come up with the trivia question, and we'll say it here and we'll post it on Facebook, and we have an XL The Infamous Podcast shirt to give away to a lucky listener. So definitely let us know, like, maybe how you'd like to put together a contest or something you guys would like to do. Maybe we could do like draw your favorite character and we'll pick the best one, something like that. But we'll have more on that next week. We'll actually plan it out. All right, so as always, I'm Brian Tudor.
Johnny Potter.
You can find us at infamouscomics.com, infamouspodcast.com.
Infamous
Podcast. We're at Infamous Podcast on Twitter and Facebook. I'm at Brian Tudor on Twitter and Instagram.
Johnny Potter on Twitter.
And you're J. Michael Potter
on
Instagram. I checked. Yeah. So Johnny posts great pictures of his hauls. With all his massive shopping trips.
Yeah, well, you know,
and
that's what vacations are meant for.
Since he's going to a toy show, definitely check out. I've done a couple of my new Deadpool Season 2, Deadpool Kills the Lego Universe.
Yeah.
Having fun with that.
I'm going to go to Kokomo Toy Store this week.
Okay.
I haven't been there in years, and they moved to a new location, so that'll be another one.
So you're on the hunt for my Ben Reilly Marvel Legends.
I'm on the hunt for a few things. So.
Very, very cool. All right, guys. That's the Infamous Podcast for this week. Thank you for listening.
Yes. If you're listening through iTunes, definitely give us a 5-star review.
Please.
You know, if you have any suggestions for anything you want to hear about on the show, Facebook, probably
Twitter, email.
Way. Twitter, yeah.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, the 5-star reviews are great. They help with the viewability of the show, and they help move us up and get more fans and get noticed, and we can do some cooler things for you guys as the audience grows.
We appreciate the feedback.
We do. We love it. And thanks to everybody who participates on Facebook.
Yeah.
So it's always a good
and
conversation.
Instagram, I mean,
yeah, and Twitter lately.
I've been posting some things on Instagram with the show, so... You know, thanks for the likes on there, too.
Cool.
Appreciate it.
All right, guys. We will be back next week with a new episode.
Have a good night.
Later.